Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5. This passage of scripture that we're going to read here this afternoon, you've heard sermons from it before. In fact, I've even preached out of this passage before as well. But I want you to be reminded today of some principles and some truths. I want you to be on purpose about letting God's Word impact you afresh, even here this afternoon. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Verse 10 gives us the reason for this miracle, the reason for this event that took place, where Jesus says to Simon, Fear not, because from here on out, you're going to catch men. The reason for this miracle was that there were lessons in fishing for men that Jesus wanted to teach his disciples. If you go to verse 1, notice it. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Imagine that for just a minute. What a sight that must have been. Crowds, throngs of people pressing on to Jesus to hear the Word of God. Why were they there? They were there because they wanted to hear the Word of God. I've seen depictions of this very scene, you know, in film form or something like that. And you might see, you know, a small crowd of people on the beach, on the shore, Jesus standing there trying to teach them next to the water and so on. But that's not at all the image of what's being portrayed. There were so many people who were pressing to hear the Word of God, and Jesus didn't have anywhere else to go because the water's behind him. And so the Bible tells us that he got into the ship so that he could teach the people, so he could reach the crowd of people. And I was thinking about this and thinking about what a sight that must have been, people pressing for the purpose of hearing the Word of God. That sounds so foreign to us, doesn't it? It sounds so foreign to us, and yet there are times when we read of prayer letters from evangelists that we support, of the throngs of people who are wanting gospel lessons and hearing the Word of God. Sometimes I really want to go to South Africa. You know, when I hear of Brother Scott Kuzel teaching in the schools to 700 people at a time, or just the scores of people that Brother Hammett talks about who are, he's just completely overwhelmed with the amount of work, because people want to have the gospel lessons in their hands and do them. And to hear of the potential that is now in Liberia, people open to the Word of God. There are times when I hear these kinds of things, and it's so foreign to my mind of how people respond in America. I want to go where people want to hear the Word of God. People pressing just to hear the word of God. What a sight that must have been. And I think about, what if that sort of thing were to happen today? Would we hardly even know what to do with ourselves? I rejoice in hearing Brother Noah tell of just beginning one conversation with a businessman in an electronics store, and as they begin to talk about the Word of God, their person after person begins to start coming around, interested in what is being said concerning the things of the Lord, and before you know it, 20 or 25 people are all standing around listening to the man of God give the Word of God to people who have hungry souls. That was encouraging to my heart. I'm like, I wonder if something like that would ever happen. And if it did, what would we do? How would you respond? Are you with me? Often, though, we will pray this prayer. I've prayed it. I've heard you pray it. Lord, give us souls to reach. In the jail, we preach the gospel, extension of our church. Men go and preach the gospel there. We pray for a harvest of souls. We say, Lord, give us souls to reach. But maybe with the mindset of hoping and wishing that they'll come to us and fall in our lap. They'll walk through the door. Wouldn't we rejoice over that? We would. People walk through the door. People hear the gospel. People get saved. We would rejoice in a harvest of souls like that, wouldn't we? Of course we would. But I simply would say that these opportunities, if they were to happen, although a blessing, don't happen very often. And Jesus uses the circumstances of this passage here to teach Peter and the other disciples a valuable lesson in the occupation of soul winning. And that's what I want us to look at from this passage this afternoon. The title of the message is Launch Out. First of all, notice in verse 3, a devoted possession. Verse 3 tells us, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Jesus entered into Simon's ship in order that he might teach the people out of it. Jesus' purpose was to reach the people. Jesus' intent was to teach and preach to the people, to reach the crowd. Peter's ship was a ready, available tool for the master to use. Now, I would imagine that it would be an honor to be the means of helping Jesus reach the pressing crowd. Wouldn't you find that an honor to be used of the Lord, to be a helper to the Lord, to reach the crowd? Well, he did that through the use of Peter's possession. But I would say, let's apply it to today. Like, what if Jesus were here today? What if Jesus walked through the church today and he came in and he said, there's some people that I need to reach and I need one of your possessions so that I can go do this. Would we be the first one to say, here, Lord, yes, take my car. You can have my car. You can do it. You can have it to reach the people that you're trying to reach. Lord, you need a place to stay while you're trying to reach those people. Lord, you can stay at my house. We would be more than, if the Lord himself walked through the room today and said, I have need of this, we would be more than happy to give it to Jesus because it's Jesus. My car all of a sudden doesn't mean that much to me anymore if the Lord has need of it. I mean, that's how I feel like I would respond. And maybe how we all would respond, because it's Jesus. Well, I would say to us today, to myself today, that Jesus Christ is still desiring to reach the crowds with the gospel. But in modern Christianity, how few are really willing to give their very all to the Lord? I mean, we'll give our money, which we should do and we need to do. We might even be willing to give our possession. But that may be as far as many are willing to go. But what about our very lives for the help and the service of the Lord to reach the pressing crowd? Simon's possession was used of the Lord. His willingness to let the Lord use it was abundantly rewarded, even in this life, according to the passage. But how much greater the eternal reward for the child of God who has a life that is totally devoted to His service. I mean, we might give our possession and we might give some of our money, but are we willing to give our very all? I think the sacrifice of time is the real test of our devotion to the Lord. The sacrifice of being willing to be stretched, being willing to be taken out of our comfort zone. There's a lot of comfort zone Christians in modern Christianity. And the truth of the matter is we make time for the things that we love the most. Peter had a possession. It was available for the Lord to use. Here was the devoted possession. But verse 4 shows us Christ's commission, because verse 4 says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep." When the Lord Jesus Christ takes possession, he also gives a commission. If you're willing for the Lord to have your life, if you're willing for the Lord to have your very all, then you know what? You should be ready for the Lord to use it, because he's going to. His command to Peter was to launch out into the deep. And you know, it ought to be the desire of every Christian to be used of God in some way, to launch out into the deep to find the lost. It ought to be in the heart, your heart's desire to be used of God. There ought to be a burden there to reach people. Because the truth of the matter is, we have a commission. The command has not been canceled. It has not changed in the day that we live in. We have a commission from the Lord. And I would ask you and remind you and encourage you this afternoon, may we never forget or lose sight of what our purpose is as a New Testament church. You know, the cold and long winter days, not going out on Great Commission Day because of the season, we might have a tendency to sort of settle in to the warm and cozy and the comfort. And even though we're not currently yet picking up our Great Commission Day activities and going out into our community, listen, we still ought to be a personal witness. We still ought to be a personal testimony. We still ought to be looking for people that the Lord would allow us to be used in their life. Just the other day, I was lamenting, actually, the fact that I don't have someone that I'm working with currently, having Bible studies with. And it hit me. Yes, I'm busy with other things, but I miss that. I miss having someone that I'm working in their life on a personal way, that God is using me to impact their life with the Word of God and the Gospel. I was lamenting that, and I started to just have to pray, Lord, give me someone. I don't ever want to get to the place in my own personal ministry where I'm too busy with administrative things or business that I don't have the time for the one-on-ones, or that I'm not personally looking regularly and personally asking the Lord, give me someone that I can share the gospel with. It bothers me. And that's a good thing. We ought to be bothered. We ought to have in our mind, in our heart, and what I'm saying is don't forget what our purpose is. We can have some devoted possessions, we can give those to the Lord. But when the Lord has those things, we need to be ready for the Lord to use it. And I'm talking about my life. When I give my life to the Lord, be ready for Him to use it. Want Him to use it. Don't forget our purpose. Jesus gave a commission to Peter. He said, launch out into the deep. We look at verse 5, and sometimes we might preach this verse and we might look and focus in on how Simon answered the Lord initially and how he said, we toiled all the night. Let's just read the verse. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. This is in response to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I want you to launch out in the deep for what? Let down your nets for a draught. The word draught means a haul of fish. Jesus already told him what was going to happen. You launch out, you let down your net, there's going to be a haul of fish that you're going to catch. All right, so you understand the picture? Jesus already said what was going to happen. And we look at verse 5 and we often look at Simon's response, how he says, we've toiled all the night, we've labored all the night, we've taken nothing. And Simon was a fisherman, he's a professional fisherman. He knew when to fish and how to fish. But Jesus said, there's going to be a haul of fish. And Peter said, well, we haven't caught anything. And we often will look at that verse in that light, but we could also look at this in another light, because Peter, even though he did say those things, he still said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, because Jesus said so. And I see here a faithful resolution. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. And it reminds me of the fact that the way of victory in ministry, the way of victory in life, is always through the pathway of faith. We're not going to find victory. We're not going to find even the hand of God being used of God if there's not faith at the core, at the bottom of it. We're called to live by faith, not by sight or by feelings. Peter's feelings said, well, that's no use. I've toiled all the night. That word toil means to labor, to work hard. I've toiled all the night. That was probably the most likely time to catch fish. And he says, I've caught nothing. His feelings said, there's no use in this. I've already worked at it and nothing has happened. But Simon's faith said, nevertheless, at thy word I will. It wasn't a point to be reasoned. It wasn't a point to have logic in. It was simply a point to be believed and obeyed because Jesus said to do it. Had Peter continued to reason and abide by his logic, he would have missed out on what Jesus was about to do. And I would say, by way of application, Christian, saint of God, church member of Plaque Road Baptist Church, your flesh will come up with all kinds of reasons why you can't. Your flesh will come up with all kinds of reasons why you can't be a witness for the Lord. But He says to go. He says to launch out. And He says, believe me and watch what I'm going to do. You know, we've got things that we pray for in ministry, like the native ministry. There can be all kinds of reasons we could come up with why we shouldn't. It's too hard. The logistics of it don't seem possible. Other people have tried and failed. They won't hear anyway. They're very religious. They're prejudiced against the white man. I mean, we could come up with all kinds of reasons. And we would demonstrate our lack of faith. We would demonstrate our lack of obedience to the Lord when Jesus says, launch out. and believe me. On a personal level, we can make excuses. I don't know what to say. But Jesus said, fear not. We can say, I've tried before and all I get is rejection. You know, rejection can be discouraging if we aren't looking to the Lord. Maybe that comes back to our motive of why. Talked about it this morning in Sunday school. It's easy to be discouraged when you face rejection and say, what's the use? If my motive isn't, I just want to please the Lord. I want to do this because it's my Father. I want to serve Him. We're called not to be manufacturers, but just to sow the seed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about launching out in faith, believing the word of the Lord, and then watching the Lord use us according to His will. Galatians 6:9. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Peter's response, really, even though initially he said, we've done this all night long and nothing's happened, he actually responded in faith. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. His faith and his obedience to the command of the Lord is what led to the miracle that they witnessed. And so it ought to be with us in the commission that Christ has given to us. Listen, there are opportunities that are just waiting for us if we will respond by faith. It's easy to say, well, no one's going to listen in our culture. But you know what? That is absolutely not true. I've experienced that when I respond by faith and I obey the Lord and I'm praying and asking the Lord to use me, guess what the Lord does? How many times does this happen? Those of you who come out to Great Commission Day. We always pray, Lord, just give us one today. Just give us one that we can have a chance to give the gospel to today. Do whatever you want to do, but just give us one. And I'll go throughout the day and I'll knock doors and you know, people are pretty, you know, they're pretty kind. They're just not gonna slam the door in my face. That's rarely ever happened in Alaska. Most of the time people at least take what you give them. A lot of times people aren't really that interested. You can tell it, you leave them something that you can and you move on to the next one. But inevitably, the Lord always answers that prayer when it's prayed by faith. Lord, gives me one that I can actually have a legitimate conversation with to plant the seeds of the gospel in their heart. The Lord is going to answer that prayer. Why? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when we pray according to His will, He hears us, we know that He hears us, and we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Those are promises from God's Word, friend. God never fails in all of His doings. I'm simply saying this. Look, if we respond by faith and our obedience is mixed with faith, or our obedience is really because of our faith, there are opportunities just waiting when we respond like that. The Lord knows whose heart He's working in. I don't. But most of the time, I am guilty of missing it because I'm not engaged like I should be on a daily basis, looking for the people and looking for the opportunity. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word. And I want to come to the point, too, where I say the same thing. Nevertheless, at thy word. I've tried this, or it doesn't seem like much is happening. But I want to be able to say, Lord, You said to, I know that Your will is always right and it's always good. Lord, I want to be used of You. Here I go. Are you with me here on that? Nevertheless, at Thy word. We see in verse 6, amazing satisfaction, because verse 6 says, and when they had this done, After they obeyed, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Look at the success that they were able to have. The word of Christ was believed, and it was obeyed, and that was the thing that made all the difference. The Bible doesn't say for certain, but it's likely that it was customary to fish at night because that was the most likely time to catch the most fish. But what's interesting is that Jesus told him to do something that was not according to custom or habit. The opposite of. And sometimes our way of doing things has to be broken through and set aside before we can see the power of God manifested. If Simon had contended for the customary method, well, we can only catch fish at night, Lord. If he would have just contended for what was customary, he wouldn't have seen the blessing. And I would say the power of Christ is really enjoyed, it's really experienced, and it can only be experienced and can only be enjoyed when we do things his way. We shouldn't let habitual service or form or custom stand in the way of what the Lord is telling us to do. You know, I give, I pray. Maybe sometimes I'll send a letter. But I just don't do that personal, soul-winning, face-to-face, confrontational witnessing. I just don't do that. But what if the Lord wanted you to do that? What if the Lord wanted you to be personal in someone's life? We're never going to see the power of God, the blessing of God, if we operate on the "this is just what I do" attitude. That's not really surrender to the Lord. Lord, my very life is yours. That means he can do whatever he wants with it, if that's true, right? And I simply would say, Lord, just tell me what to do. But Lord, you know I have a fear of this. Or Lord, you know that I'm not confident with that. That's not really any different than Peter saying, but Lord, you know I've toiled all the night and haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Lord, I'm not confident here. But I know that the Lord is wanting me to be involved in this person's life. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Follow the Lord. Obey the Lord by faith. And God will show his power. And you know what? There's satisfaction for the soul like nothing else when we do that. I probably have said it before, but there just is something that brings total joy to my soul when, even if I haven't really wanted to, I know the Lord is telling me to, and I go and I obey by faith, and I do what the Lord wants, and then all of a sudden I see the door open up, and God works in a person's life, and he chose to use me to do it, and because I obeyed, when I walk away from that, there is complete satisfaction and joy in my soul like nothing else. I did the hard thing. I obeyed by faith because he said to. Look what he did. Man, Lord, I want you to do that again. They were rewarded. They were blessed beyond measure. They caught so many fish that their nets break. That was unheard of. As you move down in the passage, for the sake of time, we'll move on from this. But verse 7, note this. So they obeyed the Lord. All of a sudden, the Lord brings in the haul of fish, just like he said was going to happen. their nets start to break. And then verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Imagine that picture. Here they are seeing the blessing, God bringing in the miracle happened, the haul of fish happening. Their nets are breaking. They're like, hey guys, come here, help us. Look what's going on. And they come over and they put in their net and both the ships are filled and they both start to sink. I wonder if an evangelist like Brother Hammett over in Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, reaching out into all these places and just constantly writing back and saying, I'm completely overwhelmed with the work that there is to do and the response of the people. I can't keep up with it. I need some help. I wonder if some helpers went and joined in the labor, if they would be able to reap in the blessing and the benefit too of the haul of fish that's coming in. What I see in verse 7 is brotherly cooperation. Had they not invited their brothers to cooperate, how much would have been lost? See how many more were coming in that wouldn't have been reaped if they didn't have the help in another net and another ship? How much is being lost today, though, in the work of the Lord? Because there's no one to help. I've had to ask the Lord to keep me right in His will. I've said, Lord, I'll go over there if that's what you want. I want to be a part of that. And we are a part of it by our giving and our praying, but I've really had to come to the place where I said, Lord, if that's what you would want, that's what I would do. The Lord doesn't want me to at this point, apparently. But He might you. I was excited when I started reading about what Fargo Baptist Church is doing in Liberia and how a door is being opened and they sent one of their pastors over to Liberia, and it just became very clear that this was the Lord working, leading them this way. And the work and the ministry is so great that they need help. And the home church is praying about more laborers and what will the Lord do. And Brother Lang, who's ministering for the last 16 years in Thailand, the Lord picks him up and moves him over to Liberia because they need help. There's a handful of families or church members in Fargo Baptist Church who are lay people who are going to Liberia for an extended period of time, maybe not permanently, to help in the team. Wow! Pretty awesome. That's biblical, if you look in the Scriptures. Take some people who are not just willing with their possessions, but willing with their very life. I'm not a preacher, but the Lord wants to use me here. I'm willing to set things aside, put my life here, if you want to call it that, on hold, because the Lord's telling me to go, to help, to labor. Some brotherly cooperation. What if those guys said, hey, we're too tired, can't come over there and help you? How much would have been lost? What is it that hinders the work of the Lord? Often it's pride. Often it's selfishness. Often it's an unsurrendered heart. See, the blessings came to Simon's boat through faith in Christ and His Word. But Jesus did not intend for it all to remain there with Simon. There were others who needed it too. And so He beckons His brothers to come and help. And it's interesting that it was the helpers, not the people who demonstrated faith in the word of the Lord initially, it was the helpers that were able to share in the bountiful result. And if we are committed to the Lord and the Lord is using our lives to be a light and a witness, we should be beckoning our brothers and our sisters to come help us. You know what we ought to be? Banding together over souls. We ought to say, there's somebody who needs the Lord, that God is allowing me to work in their life. Would you come and help me? Would you pray with me? Would you commit to praying with me for the salvation of this soul? That's what Hebrews 10, 23 is all about. Considering one another, provoking one another unto love and to good works. Brotherly cooperation. And then we look in verse 8, and we'll just look at this as the last thing here. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know, I see some humiliation here, a humble spirit, rather, in Peter. But a humble spirit will always be the effect when God's greatness and His goodness and His power is realized. The heart that is being used of God legitimately never takes credit for the success of the work. God forbid that success in the Lord's work should ever lead to self-exaltation and self-glory. When God has worked through you, and you know it, there's no room for personal glorying. That is, I'm telling you, there's something humbling about it. When you know God has opened a door and God has used you in someone's life and God has used you and someone's been saved, there is no glorying in that. There's something humbling about it. That the Lord would use me? What a great privilege, and to God be the glory. That ought to be the desire of every Christian. Lord, use me for your glory. Sometimes we've got to launch out by faith. Get past the comfort zone. Be willing to be stretched. Be willing to do what just doesn't seem logical if the Lord is saying to do it. And our obedience, motivated by our faith, is what allows and enables God to manifest Himself. Don't forget our purpose. Say, Lord, I'm willing. I want to launch out. Lord, use me. Give us a harvest of souls. But I'm not just going to sit and wait for them to walk through the door. I'm going to go out. I'm going to be looking. And God will use your life. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, take your word today and just encourage and challenge our hearts with it. Lord, I know that I am. And prayerfully, Lord, your people are too. And that we would be on purpose this week. Lord, use my life. My purpose is to glorify you, to do your will. Your will is that people be saved. Your will is to use me as a mouthpiece, a witness for Christ. Lord, I want to be on the lookout this week. Would you open a door? I want to be ready to walk through it. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge us again anew and afresh, because our commission is still the same. It's not been canceled. It's not been changed. And Lord, may we never forget and be busy about your business. Bless your people. And Lord, we pray for our mission trip to Lebanon. We pray for the details. Even though we don't know all of them, Lord, we can trust you with them. Pray that you'd begin to work in hearts already. Prepare hearts already. so that, Father, we can be used of you to encourage our evangelists, Lord, to evangelize people who need the Lord, to be the tool, the vessel, through which you show your power. Lord, that we can bring home to our church a greater vision and understanding of the work that you're doing, that we can more effectively pray, that more laborers would be willing to go. Lord, I pray for our others that we support, like Brother Hammett, and the work and the labor that's going on there, and so much to do and so many responses to the Word of God. Lord, would you send somebody else to help him? Lord, would you send a multitude to help? And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. I pray for Fargo Baptist Church and their outreach in Liberia. Lord, that a great door and effectual is open unto them. Lord, that we can labor together through prayer, through financial support. And we wait to hear of the blessings of God. But Lord, we also pray for right here at home, in our own state, and again for the doors to be opened. And Lord, as we pray and we prepare ourselves, Lord, that we be ready to run through the door. For those who are laboring to help get parts of it off the ground, give them discernment, wisdom, and abilities. Father, I don't see and understand all that is there. I don't know all that you want to do. But may we have the heart to launch out by faith. And Lord, we'll trust that your will is accomplished, glory is given to you, your power is demonstrated. Lord, give us a harvest of souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.